Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. Welcome back, guys, to episode 7 of the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are so excited to have you here. And today, we're going to be diving deep into the concept of spiral dynamics. Now, spiral dynamics was developed by a man named Claire Graves. And this is the concept where it's really understanding the different ways that each person thinks. So, Dan, tell me a little bit about your perspective on this. I know you've studied as well in some of your NLP classes. Let's go ahead and just dive in.
Sure. So I see this as the path of personal evolution. And obviously, everybody starts a path in a different place, right? There is no real end goal per se. There's no better or worse place on the path. Everybody's on it. It's kind of like a beautiful walk, right? There's no part of it that's any better or worse than another one, but it is a beautiful journey the whole way through. And by understanding the different parts of it, you can, first of all, tell where you are and understand where you've come from to just get a little bit better of a perspective of why things happened the way they did, and also help you get to where you're going as well. So I think this would be really interesting for you, especially if you're wondering, where does this all go in life?
Yeah, absolutely. And so the way that different people will mention these by different names, but what I'm going to use for the sake of keeping this simple is I'm going to use numbers to talk about these different levels. In some other places where you may have learned this, they may talk about it in terms of colors. For the sake of simplicity today, we're just going to do numbers. So when we're talking about spiral dynamics, you can think of it as this concept of there being about 8 little versions of yourself living inside of your head at all times. And if you can think back and remember like the old Homer Simpson cartoons, where when Homer would go in his head and there'd be like 8 versions of him or like 5 little versions of Homer in there having a conversation and talking amongst each other, and then finally like him waking up and then saying something in person. Very much of the same kind of concept, right? There's these different versions of yourself that are woken up, are activated during different events in your life. And so as you evolve, as you go through different periods in your life, different levels are going to become activated or turn on or awaken. And so each level represents a different type of thinking. And that thinking is going to help really determine like what the focus is and how you go about your life.
Yeah, and the thing there is that, again, we are going to refer to these in numbers, but there is no level that's better than another. We're going to highlight each different level, or maybe should we call it phase? Make it even easier. Each different part along this trip, and help you understand that there is no good or bad. Each stage has pros and cons. Each one can be used for even greater success and happiness and fulfillment in life. And each one has its own little traps and pitfalls. And so it's kind of fun to find out where you are and how you can get to a different phase in your life as well.
So let's start off with the first phase, level one, and understanding what this level is all about. So this is like your basic survival needs. Right. This level is all focused on the self. It's making sure that there is food, shelter, safety, and fornication. Right. It needs to be able to reproduce to make sure that we can survive. As long as those basic needs are met, that's all it cares about. It doesn't really expand much beyond that thinking.
And that's also why you'll never really see a person in just level one. We have so much more going on in our lives. So level one is more just like an animal, right? It's where we used to be in our very first days as a species on this planet. And so level two is what happens when these animals get together for protection and they form packs or tribes for people. And I guess maybe if you look in the middle of the Amazon, you still may find people who are in phase two, where it's tribal thought. they have a leader, sure, but everything is done for the tribe. You really don't have any individuality. Everything is for the family, for the group. Food is brought back for the group. They hunt, they live, they move. Everything is done as a group. However, sometimes someone can be kicked out of the group. Or when an individual gets tired of being told what to do and kind of wants his own or her own things, these individuals may break out of the tribe and start thinking about themselves. And that's when they reach stage three.
Yeah. And so stage three is where we step into what we call the power god. Now, the power god you can think of as they were once a part of this tribe, right? And in that tribal thinking, it was kind of more living at the effect of the world around them, very much superstitious, right? They believed in the concept of, you know, doing a dance for the rain gods to make it rain. And if they didn't, it was about sacrificing a goat or whatever it was. And so the three starts to realize that, hold on a second, I want to make the rules. I want to be in charge. And so what the three starts to do is it starts to step into this place where it's all about the self. And the three decides to take charge, to create its own rules, to command and basically, in a way, almost protect instinctively those lower levels by having this massive amount of energy. And so the three really has no sense of consequence for its actions. It's more so very focused on what it really wants. And the best way that you can really think of and or describe this phase is it's pure energy. And how that energy is used, again, is going to be dependent on the individual and the emotions that they experience. But understand that that three is really about pure energy.
And the three is the me, myself, and I feeling. If you think about it, a three could be a gangster, right? Someone who really does not care about you at all. They feel no remorse. They feel no guilt. However, because it's a me, myself, and I thing, they can be shamed. And that's kind of like the worst thing you can do to a three. Think about a gangster. They don't care if they shoot you or your whole family. They'll do it without even thinking about it. But if you insult them, that's it for you. Threes hold grudges, and they're completely narcissistic and sociopathic. That means they don't really feel for anybody else at all. Other people are means to an end. They're tools to be used and then thrown away when done. And so if you want to think about some threes in popular culture, think about any gangster. Think about any mobster. There are some political figures who are very well known for being sociopathic narcissists. I'm not going to throw out any names in case any of them are listening, but I think we all know who they are. And it's well known that these people seem to only think about themselves and everybody else be damned.
And again, the lack of long-term thinking in regard to their consequences. Now, the level beyond three is where we start to step into that four. Phase four, stage four, level four is what we would call rules-based. This is where, holy crap, there's too many threes. Everybody is trying to do this. Now we need to establish some rules, right? And the rules are put in place to help organize structure, in a sense, the energy that's coming from all of those threes. And so the four is very, very much focused on making sure that there are rules, that everyone is following a certain protocol, that there is structure, and God forbid anybody do anything outside of breaking those rules, because if anyone were to break those rules, then they would be perceived as being a three. And so four is really, really focused on having this need for certainty, having the structure put in place to make sure that everybody is getting what they need to be getting done.
And one easy way for a three to become a four is through some sort of traumatic incident that makes them think. For example, a gangster who gets put in jail and sits there and starts thinking about consequences. What brought me here? How did this all go so wrong? They start looking for order in their lives because, like Sophie said, 3 is kind of chaotic. Right? It's all the short-term thinking with no consequences until there is one. And then it's time to ponder. Ponder existence. Ponder how to put things back together. And that's where a lot of them find rules, such as religion. So a lot of times you'll find classic fours having a book. They are the isms of the world. They'll tell you when it's time to eat and what to eat at that time. They'll tell you how to say, what to say, to who to say, how to dress. They'll tell you what you can and cannot do. And a lot of it is very sacrificial. Whereas the 3 is, what can I get now? The future be damned. The 4 is almost completely backwards. It's sacrifice now so that we can have a future, right? So it's toil now so you can have for a beautiful afterlife forever, right? Wait now, don't have sex now, right? You got to wait until marriage. And even then, no. You got to be very careful about that, right? You fall into lusts and you're going to go to hell, right? They have these really big repercussions. And where the 3 didn't feel any guilt, 4s do pretty much all the time.
And so once these rules, right, they start to get really confining, and it's almost like that 3, they understand the rules, they understand the consequences, but they want to do something more. They're starting to think outside of the box. This is where that level 5 starts to emerge. That level 5, phase 5, stage 5 thinking is all about achievement. They're very much goal-oriented, wanting to get to the next level. And so the 5 is where let's use the rules, but let's bend the rules so that we can win. And the 5 is all about let's win as long as I win first. Right? So very, very much achievement-oriented, wanting to get to that next level, wanting to get to a better place, constantly working on improving themselves, and very, very much looking for ways to bend those rules so that they can win more frequently, faster.
So one of the common phrases that you'll hear a 5 using is, you know, it's not personal, it's just business. So they're prepared to hurt people, but they don't necessarily want to. It's okay. Look, if it happens in the course of business, hey, if you lose your home, you lose your house, whatever, you should have known better before signing that contract. Hey, it's just business. Think about the Enron guys. Think about these huge corporate takeovers or, for example, the Citizens United case, where all of a sudden corporations and whoever has more money than you has more of a legal right to exist than you. And wow, hey, but it's not personal. It's not personal. They just found a loophole. Hey, they just knew about the system, right? They're just looking out for themselves. So in that way, a 5 is very similar, kind of like a 3. They gather all this energy for themselves, and they're prepared to do some damage, but they have a little bit more of a conscience. They're not out there to kill you, but hey, you know, if you go broke, not their problem.
And so when the 5 has reached a certain level of achievement where they've done everything they could do, they've started to get bored in a sense, or maybe it's just not as exciting or fulfilling, or they start to develop that crazy thing called a conscience, and they're starting to feel a little bit of guilt, a little bit of remorse about things that they've done. This is where they start to move into level 6 or stage 6 or phase 6, which is all about community. Now, phase 6 is quite literally the opposite of 5. It's more so all about equality. How can we make sure that everyone is getting their needs met, that everyone is taken care of, and that nobody stand out?
So there are some other things that go along with this. And notice for all these stages, I've been giving you like the extremes of each to make it kind of easier to understand. So if we're going to talk about the extreme of 6, and here I go pretty much describing myself. Someone who wears crystals all the time, you know, the granola, kumbaya, let's just be peace and love, right? Drum circles and intention circles and talking about the soul and metaphysics and all the things that I completely adore. But yeah, that hippies, right? Essentially hippies. So the 6 is concerned with that. Because, yeah, they've bounced back. And so there they are a little bit sacrificial as well, where they're tired of the rat race. You know, this whole corporation thing, it's got no life. It's got no soul. We've got to connect. Life is about spirituality. It's about love. It's about being there for each other. The problem, though, is that sometimes sixes can go so far into this realm that they forget that they still have to pay the bills. And a six that goes really far into it may be very talented, but broke.
And so this is where you'll start to realize that one of two things will happen. And I'm sure you guys can think of, and I know a few mentors of mine who have gone between the worlds of volunteering and crewing and giving all their time and money to charities and organizations because they care so much. And then they go and they work themselves to the bone because they have to earn money. They have to get back up. They have to be able to take care of themselves. And so it's almost like they're teeter-tottering between the five and the six until they make this jump into level seven. And level seven, we won't really go too far into this, but it's like moving into a different tier. Because at level seven, it becomes much more about the bigger picture and much less about the self, where level seven, or phase seven, is focused all about how can I achieve more so that I can give more? How can I become more so that I can give back to the world? So it's almost like the five and the six came together and saw the best of both worlds.
Now, we're getting into a really important part, because I know when I first learned about this, I thought, oh, I'm level seven. I want to grow to give. But there's a really important part in this. In order to really be a level seven, get into level seven, you must have gone through all of the previous levels and fully accepted them. See, as we move around our levels of personal evolution, it's very common to go from one, as you notice, as they evolve, like a three becomes a four by rejecting the three. Rejecting the chaos. No, all this is wrong. We have to have rules. Three is bad. When you reach level seven, it's because you have gone through all of them and you have made peace with all of them. And therefore, you can use all of their tools and all their wisdoms. Look, each one of these has a lot of pros, a lot of strengths. And the seven is able to use them all, accepting of all. And so it's very much a humanity kind of level where it's not even about me. It's about all of you. And the thing is, I can't help all of you if I freaking hate some of you. So in order to really get into level seven, you've got to go through a lot. And that's why it's actually very rare to find a seven. I mean, it's really purely theoretical. I think maybe Richard Branson is a level seven. I don't even know if Elon Musk is, because I can hear some of his interviews and I can hear some rejection in his voice. So I don't know if even that. Do you know any other level seven, Sophie?
This is the part where we have to be careful not to identify somebody as just being one of these levels, right? And it's understanding that although we may live in one level the majority of our time, we also have the ability to fluctuate in between all of our levels if we have access to them by not making any of them wrong. And like Dan mentioned, fully accepting those other levels. So it's understanding that maybe in your business, right, you're very much that level five mentality, that five shows up for you. But when you're going home, it's very much more maybe that three shows up for you, where you're just like, I mean, I know for me, when I'm in the gym, all three, baby, all three, because it's just like, I don't care what's going on here. I'm going to take care of me. And so it's difficult to say, you know, just one person who lives that level predominantly. I would say, you know, there's maybe one or two people that I can think of that are much more focused on really giving back and growing at that higher level. To name somebody specifically off the top of my head, I'm drawing a blank right now. But definitely understanding again that we do go in fluctuation between these different levels during different stages of our lives. And understanding a really, really key concept here is when we're presented with a lot of stress, when life conditions create massive stress for us, oftentimes what will end up happening is we will go into one of our lower levels of thinking to deal with that stress. So if we're normally living in a level five and we're under a lot of stress, oftentimes what you'll see is we'll start to move into a four or three.
Yeah, and it's also important to know that, like you're saying, it's very rare for a person to be fully or just one level. I like to view not just the primary, I kind of view it as we have a primary phase and then a secondary phase. And then when we get into stress, we go into where we had just come from. And I think that's kind of fun to think about, just to realize, okay, well, where am I now? What are my talents and skills and maybe pitfalls that I've got to be aware of from where I am now? And then when I'm stressed out, where do I go? Like, for me, I am, I think, predominantly 6, with my secondary being 5. And I think that for me, it's a beautiful place to be as a coach. I'm totally love-based and love talking metaphysics and all about this weird stuff that make a lot of other people feel uncomfortable because I'm covered in crystals and all sorts of, you know, weird new agey stuff. But I have a business. I'm a business owner. And sure, I mean, I enjoy making money. I enjoy growing my business. I enjoy doing all of these things. And I love having the life that it comes with. And for me, it's also a good thing to just kind of be aware if I'm tipping too much to my 6, and I'm not really working hard because all I'm doing is meditating and doing yoga all day. Or have I gone a little bit too much into my 5 where I'm like hustle, 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 hustle. And I've stopped, you know, having as much of that heart energy that I really need in order to be an effective coach for people. And then when I stress out, I can go very much into a 3. I can go very much into a 3 where I really don't think about anybody else. I completely snap out of the world. And I can hermit and I can be very selfish. And it's good for me to know that. Because then also, once you know where you're at and where you slip into, you can also be aware of what you need to do in order to climb back up. You know, for people who slip into 3s and they start becoming even more selfish, then you can, first of all, understand that you're under stress. That's one of your ways to know, like, hey, I'm actually really stressed out right now. Because sometimes we can just completely neglect it. You know, we could be so far busy in what we're doing, we don't realize we're stressed out. And all of a sudden you slip back and you notice, ooh, I've kind of gone backwards a little bit. Okay, it's time to chill out. Time to do some stress relievers, time to take care of myself, time to go back up to where I'm used to being.
And this is one of the biggest reasons why we wanted to share this concept with you guys, is really understanding the different levels of thinking that really do exist in all of us, and that it's not that we're just one or the other and the other ones are all bad. It's understanding that they are all inside of us and becoming aware of what levels are we currently operating from and what levels do we need to engage with.
And more than just us, it's also really fun and kind of important to understand who's around you. It doesn't matter what kind of relationship you have with the people, whether they're roommates, whether you're working with them, whether they're your family, whether they're intimate partners. It's good to know because each one of them has triggers. Each one of them has things that they don't like, and each one of them has things that they absolutely love. For example, if you're working with a 4, you know that they like having things in a very specific way. They have their rules. They like to be on time, you know, be at work at a certain time, leave at a certain time. They like to do things in a certain order, in a certain way. They have their way, and that's the way it's done. That's absolutely the way it's done. And if you break those rules, you're going to get it. So even though you may not be a 4 yourself, hey, maybe you're a 3. Or even worse, maybe you're a 5 and rules don't apply to you. You know, maybe it's good if you want to just create that positive relationship with this 4 to know, you know what? I'm going to give in a little bit here, right? I'm going to play by the rules a little bit. Or maybe you can negotiate. On here, we're going to abide by these very strict rules. And on here, we're going to kind of go by my 5 way and just kind of get the job done, no matter how it needs to get done.
Exactly. Absolutely. So it really is powerful, and especially identifying, you know, oh, wow, this person's operating, not that they are. Again, we really want to make sure that you guys don't just label individuals or label yourselves as being one of these levels, but understanding, okay, this person's currently operating from this level, possibly. And so in order for me to have the best interaction with them, what level would I need to operate from? And or what level of thinking do I need to step into to better understand their world and how they're really approaching this topic or conversation or whatever's coming up for you? Again, whenever you think about, I love using the examples of fours. Four is a very, very, very powerful thinking level to have and to make sure that you are using well, especially in business. You want to have a good relationship with your four. And many very successful business owners will tell you that having that four is paramount. Having a good relationship with that four is paramount to sustainable success. You have to be able to develop the proper systems. You have to be able to implement structure to really be able to sustain the growth, where it's not just a one-time attainable thing because your five did an awesome job, but now you can replicate it and you can put in the systems and you can organize and structure things in a way to where now it's sustainable.
Yeah, it's really, really important to have that. All the great ideas in the world won't mean anything unless you have a structure. But also, you can see that some of these phases or some of the behaviors that come from expressing these phases also kind of contradict each other. For example, sixes and fours do not like each other. If you think about it, four is all about very rigid rules. But four, these rigid rules can make them very judgmental. When we're in our we like things a certain way, that also means that other people are inherently wrong. But when we're operating out of our six, and hey, I'm a child of the world, you know, there is no right or wrong. We're all people. Can't we all just love each other? And we can look at someone who's judging, and then we can judge them right back. And there you see that interplay of these two very powerful, because a six is very powerful as well. Very powerful personality traits, these behaviors that can butt heads.
Yeah, and this is, again, really understanding the relationships in your life. I can tell you firsthand, when I first met Matt, who was my boyfriend of 2 years, who was in the Marines, having been in the Marines for 5.5 years, very, very, very strong four that he led with. A little bit of five that he was stepping into, but a very, very strong four. And for me, all five, I was at such a level five, and the four was like, okay, maybe I can do this, but not really. I mean, I don't want any kind of like commitment here or structures. This is going to keep me from growing. And it was interesting to see the dynamics of our relationship really shift and develop as he started to step more into his five, and I started to understand and appreciate more of the four for what it really allowed me to do with my five. And now today, it's amazing to see as I'm starting to move more into my six and he's living more in his five, how the energy and the way that we approach life and our relationship is so different because we can both understand and appreciate the other person's level of thinking and the other person's model of the world, where it's not that it's bad, wrong, or anything like that. It's just that's where they're operating from and understanding where they're really coming from.
Absolutely. And let's see, we haven't really talked about threes all that much just yet. So let's bring them in because I want you guys to realize that threes also have a very powerful role to play. Think about this. Let's say if you were in a sales department and you hired a three. Well, that person's probably going to be your top sales agent because they're going to go after themselves. They're going to make after that bank. They're going to go after the gold and they're going to do whatever is really necessary. Right? They don't need partners. They don't need to think about anybody else. They're just going after their own glory, right? And as long as you remember how to talk with a three, they're very pride-based. But you can feed into that, right? All you got to do is throw in a little bit of pride, a prize, little bonuses, right? Lift them up, glorify them in front of your office, and that three will work tirelessly to make that money for your company. And that could be an amazing thing. So each one of these phases, or when you express these phases, can be an incredible thing. Like Sophie said, when she's in the gym, I had the same thing too. I used to be a CrossFitter before I got injured. And yeah, oh man, unleashing that like eat my dust kind of feeling of I don't care. I'm going to break all of my bones, but I'm winning. It's super fun. It's an amazing feeling. And harnessing that three can take you a lot of places that the other phases just don't have. They just don't have that kind of raw power. And it's beautiful once you learn how to harness it.
Yeah, and I think that's really the core and key component here is really learning how to harness that energy, that power that that three really does carry. It is a very, very, very important level to have in your life. And unfortunately, I feel for a lot of people, what ends up happening is they have this negative connotation with that three, either because they had a very strong three in their life that shut them down, or they had a bad experience with a three, or they made their three wrong in a sense. And so when you're making a level or a part of you wrong, you no longer have access to it. So what happens when you're in a place of, let's take an extreme example here, where you're home with your kids and somebody breaks into your house and they're holding a gun to your kid's head and you have a gun in your hand. Your three will do whatever it takes to save your kid's life. They don't care what it takes. They're going to make sure that they can protect them, whether it's running across a bridge, whether it's shooting this person, whether whatever it is. And so it's understanding that this part of you, you need it, especially a lot of times in business, you'll meet people and it's very interesting. And Dan, I'm sure you've had this experience as well, where it's almost like they don't really have a backbone, right? They're willing to do anything for anyone just to get it done, but they're not willing to stand up for themselves. And it's understanding that that is where the three comes in. The three is there to protect the rest of the tribe and to make sure that you are getting what it is you need and that you're protected. And so making sure, again, that you have a good relationship with every single one of these levels.
Yeah, and understanding that each one of these different phases is kind of like its own sort of personality. It has its own thing that drives it towards fear or love. And if you want to review that, that's episode 5, that we can understand that when we are in or expressing a certain phase, we're going to see the world in a very different way. You know, when you're in your 4 or your 3 or your 5 or whatever, you're going to find that certain things will pull you towards focusing on fear or pull you towards focusing on love, and that you'll fluctuate. So in one time of the day, when you're at work and you're hustling in your 5, certain things will satisfy your needs, will pull you to one way or another. But then when you go home, and if you flip on your, maybe your 6, or hey, maybe your 4, maybe if that's the way you are at home to keep everything tidy and in order, then a totally different set of needs applies. A totally different set of perceptions kicks in. And so it's also important to know that something that will satisfy you in one context of life may not satisfy you in another. And it's really useful to know where you are in different places and also know who's around you at different times in different places so you can also help them get what they really need and help everybody focus in on love.
Absolutely. And I think you touched on it perfectly. It's understanding that every single one of these levels, every single one of these thinking systems has its own needs, which ties in beautifully with our last episode, episode 6, really understanding the human needs. And if you need to review that, go ahead and go back. It's just the episode right before this one. And really understanding that they all have their own unique way of meeting these needs. And it's really, really powerful when we can look at, wow, okay, my 3 is meeting this need for love or connection through this behavior, which may be different from your 5 or your 6. And as you can start to see the differentiations between the ways that you're meeting these needs and what levels are getting their needs met, it really does empower you to understand yourself in a whole new way.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to use myself as an example here because it's easy. I know myself pretty well. I use my 3 to gain certainty. That's my safety, right? All the things that I really like that give me the most certainty is 3s. Like, I believe in myself more than anything else. You can take my home, my whole business can crumble. I do not care. I'll build it back because I know that my 3 is strong. Or when I go to the gym, I'm certain that I'm going to feel amazing there. I'm also certain that no one's going to mess with me there because I get into full-on beast mode. And that's my full 3, and I absolutely love getting into that. Now, in 4s, works quite a bit with the way that I do also handle my business. sometimes with my clients in order to help them get the most out of their work, to get the biggest results, I give them very rigid rules so that they can get the most out of every single thing. And that's really just through experience, because at first I was all six, no rules, who cares? Let's just go by what feels good. And I realized that they weren't really getting things. People would miss sessions, people would no show, people would reschedule at the last second, they wouldn't do their tasking, whatever it might be. So boom, now I have a few agreements signed in the very beginning and I set rules, and all of a sudden they get amazing results. And you know what? I have rules for myself too, in terms of, when do I have self-care? What time do I block off for me time alone? And that time is sacred. Those are my rules, right? So I think it's a gorgeous part of my four there really standing out. Five, like I said, I'm a business owner. I got a business, man. I got to run this thing. And I love working on my business. I have business coaches who are amazing. And I work with them in order to expand my five, and really love that. Six is my home and my heart. I'm predominantly six. My mind is always on spirituality because it adds things to me. You know, I talk about the energy on people and crystals and the fact that I'm an empath and studying meditation and all this incredible stuff that just makes my heart sing. And I use that also in my coaching. And I notice that the more six I put into within the confines of my four, the more fun we both have. And it's just a better session. It's just a stronger thing. And so that's how I've learned, and I continuously learn how to use all of my tribe members and feed them and make sure that they're all happy and healthy. And I think it's really useful for you to do the same.
Absolutely. And so I think, Dan, you have an awesome exercise for our listeners tuning in that will really, really help them get clarity and more so empower them on how to take this technology and really go to the next level in their lives.
Absolutely. All right. So the very first thing is to figure out, where are you? At least most of the time. Or if you have two different scenarios where a big part of you comes out when you're at work and another at home or whatever it is. Think about the different personality traits of each one of these levels, what they need, what they like, what they don't like, and find out where you are. Half the time, most of the time, or if you, you know, split over two or three, whatever it might be. But see where you can identify yourself. And then also try to figure out, well, when I'm expressing my five at work, if you haven't been so happy, or maybe you just want to be even more successful, or maybe there's someone in the office you haven't been getting along with, see what's going on there. See what you're getting and what you're not getting while you're expressing that phase. And if it's a relationship you'd like to improve, try to figure them out. At least when you're interacting with them, where are they mostly? You know, maybe it's one or two different phases, but when you identify it, maybe you'll be able to identify where things have not been going so well and what you can do to improve it. If you find out that you've been dealing with a six in the office, but you've been approaching them like a three or like a four, and you're coming on way too strong, maybe by identifying that they're a six, you can see, oh, cool, you know, I'm going to lay off a little bit and come in a little softer and maybe talk about some different things or approach things in a different way, and you can improve that relationship. So the very first step is finding out where you are predominantly, the one, two, or three different places that you really go to frequently. And then find out the people around you so that you can very strategically improve your own experience and what you get out of your life and your relationships as well.
Awesome. Love, love, love it. All right, guys. Well, that is what we have for you today on Spiral Dynamics. And again, if you have any other questions or comments on this, feel free to post below. We'd be more than happy to read those. Otherwise, shoot us a message and we would be more than happy to respond and see what you have to say. On that note, what we'll be diving into on our next episode is really understanding beliefs, really what they are, where they come from, and how to use them to really empower your future life. So on that note, we will see you all on the next episode. Have an amazing, amazing day, and we'll speak with you soon.